Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 13 once again. And the Bible says another parable he put forth unto them. Let's see what that is. Matthew chapter number 13, just a few verses, 31 to 32. Short verses, but a big truth. The Lord says another parable he put forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, though those with hardened hearts and those who did not want to receive you could not receive your truth, thank you, Lord, that we can know the truth of these parables and your teachings. Thank you, Lord, that they are revealed to us by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we pray that, Lord, you would reveal your truth to us tonight as we look into it. Lord, we pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be helped, to be challenged, to be encouraged. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith in thee and help us to be a people that are prepared to live as Christians in this challenging time in which we live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as you remember, the past few parables, we had the blessing of seeing not only what the parable taught as the Lord spoke the parable, but also the Lord's explanation. Now, with this parable, we don't have the benefit of that. So let's have a look tonight at what the Lord is teaching here in this parable of a grain of mustard seed. We see the Lord spoke about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. Now, that expression, as a grain of mustard seed, was something common that people used in the Lord's day, because the mustard seed, as the Lord said, is the smallest of seeds, a tiny little seed. And we know the Lord used a mustard seed in his teaching as a form of comparison, because the mustard seed was so small. You know, the Lord spoke of our faith compared to a grain of mustard seed. And so people in the day understood what the Lord was saying. And he used that illustration to speak about the kingdom of heaven. And in this parable, the Lord wasn't speaking about faith. He was speaking about a truth of the Christian world, the kingdom of heaven as we know it. And he was speaking about a seed that was sown into a field and takes root and begins to grow. And in verse 32, the Lord said, "Which indeed is the least of all seeds." So as we explore this parable, Roman numeral number 1, we see some humble beginnings. Humble beginnings. Your first blank is the word humble. So the mustard seed is a small seed. It is the smallest of seeds. And it explains and describes to us the beginnings of the life of Christianity and the gospel message. And we know that the Lord's work began with humble beginnings. We know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came down to this wicked old world to be born of a virgin, and he lived a poor life. The Bible says, in fact, he was poor for our sake, so that through his poverty, his sufferings, his execution on the cross, payment for our sins, through his poverty, we might be rich. And we understand that the gospel, Christianity, had humble beginnings. You know, we know that he only had a small band of faithful followers. And at Pentecost, the Bible says there are about 120 there among the thousands in Jerusalem that were witnessing for him and went out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel spread throughout the world. And so Christianity had a humble beginning. And verse 32 said about this mustard seed, "But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs." And we know for a fact that the gospel has spread. And from what began from such a small, humble beginning, we know that multitudes have been saved. Amen. And countless lives, we don't know how many, the Lord knows, but countless lives have been changed, and countless saved souls have changed other lives by telling others, and other souls have been saved, and whole countries have been impacted and changed by the gospel. I spoke about William Carey the other day when we spoke about the missionary era. And if you learn about what the Lord used him for in India, not only did he preach the gospel, but the Lord used him to bring great reforms in India by his Christian life and his Christian standards and the Word of God. He was able to use William Carey to reform an entire culture in certain areas. And you know, Christianity has impact. True Christianity has impacted culture. And what an amazing truth for us, that what began from such humble beginnings has grown into a beautiful herb, a plant, something that's flourishing. You know, true Christianity today, even among apostasy, remember, true Christianity today is living, amen?
Right.
It is flourishing.
Amen.
It is beautiful to the Lord.
Yes.
And it is wonderful. You know, many people say, oh, the church is full of sin. Well, remember, the true church is full of true Christians. The true church is full of dedicated Christians. The true church is beautiful in the eyes of God. And the mustard seed has blossomed into this beautiful herb bush, you know, the greatest among all herbs. And as Christians today, you know, we need to believe, amen. The Lord is still at work, isn't he?
Right.
Absolutely. The Lord is still at work, and he's still seeking to save that which was lost. And what a joy that we can be a part of the spread of the Word of God, the gospel. Thank God we can be in a Bible-believing church where we have a heart for the truth, and we know we have the truth that saves, amen. Doesn't condemn anyone to hell. It saves them unto salvation, because it is the truth of the Word of God. Thankfully, we have the truth. We ought to be excited, amen. What began from such a small beginning has spread to us. Now let's spread it further, amen. A humble beginning. But the lesson continues in verse 32, where we see from a humble beginning, we see an abnormal growth. Roman numeral number 2, an abnormal growth. There in your notes, the blank is abnormal. The Lord speaks about a mustard seed that is grown, that is greatest among herbs. But notice in verse 32, he says, and becometh a tree. And becometh a tree. Now, to the hearers of the day, they must have picked up on that and go and said, well, that sounds strange. Because you see, a mustard seed grows into a mustard bush, a herb, a herbivorous plant, a herb plant. But not a tree, well, not a tree at least with branches that holds birds. The Lord says here that it becometh a tree. Now, the word tree here is not a small bush, but in fact, a large tree, even an oak tree. This word for tree is used to describe a large tree. A tree that holds birds, the Bible says, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, the hearers probably picked up on that and said, well, that doesn't sound normal. That doesn't sound like a herb bush at all. Not a mustard herb, though. Now, the Lord was teaching us something important. And, of course, it goes along the lines of the past few parables we have learnt from. The Lord was teaching this. Now look up here this evening, don't miss it. This is the main point. Christianity, true Christianity, is flourishing. But don't be deceived. Not everything that is flourishing, not everything that is growing is true. Not everything that is flourishing under the so-called banner of Christianity is true Christianity. You see, there are many branches of Christianity today under the banner of Christian. But not all of it is Christian. We see that the birds come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now remember in the parable of the sower, when that seed fell onto hardened ground, the wayside heart, the hardened heart, and that seed fell onto hardened ground. You remember the birds came and took the seed away because it couldn't be sown in the ground. The hardened heart was hardened. Now do you remember what the Lord described those birds as being? Who was the bird? Who were the birds? Agents of the wicked one, the devil. That's right. So the birds here lodge in the branches thereof. You see, the Lord was teaching once again that among the flourishing Christianity, true Christianity, there is great growth and flourishing that is not true Christianity. That is, in fact, a deception. And the Lord foretold, don't forget this as Christians, this is very important. As we look in the Christian world today, as we see churches around us in our city, as we see the world of Christianity, the Lord taught that in the last days there will be a falling away, not a flourishing. He said that there will be a great apostasy, not a great revival. He said that there will be a remnant, not a revival. And so as we look at the parable this evening, we need to understand the Lord was saying to his people, be careful. Christianity will flourish. The Lord will do his work. But among the work of the Lord is the work of the devil, to deceive. And there are branches of Christianity today that are not of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:13 in your notes. But evil men and seducers shall what? Wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And again, a positive parable in the sense of the humble beginnings, the flourishing of Christianity, the Word of God, but also a warning, a serious warning of the deception that is taking hand. You know, the mega churches of the world, the mega growth that's taking place that you see on churches' websites. You know, you can go to charismatic churches' websites today and you can hear about great crusades in Africa where hundreds of thousands are being saved. Wow, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't in Australia anymore. Maybe the Holy Spirit's gone. My Bible says that the Holy Spirit came into the world and he's at work in the world. Hundreds of thousands being saved. Well, where are they? Where are the missionaries coming from Africa to Australia? Where are they? And there's these great numbers being proclaimed. In fact, there are churches with great numbers in them. What about churches with hundreds and thousands of people overflowing, busting at the seams? What about those churches? Well, Christ said there will be a flourishing, but there will be a falsehood, you see, in the flourishing. There are many great branches of so-called Christianity around the world, but all kinds of wickedness are lodging in them. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, in a book published in 1993, Christianity in Crisis, the author went about to record specific statements made by apostate preachers, real things that they said. And you know, when he was writing this book, people did not believe what he was writing, so then he recorded their very statements out of their very lips. That's how shocking the statements of some of these popular preachers were. Now, I put them in your notes there. One of the most popular preachers today, Kenneth Copeland, with a gigantic ministry, is quoted as saying, "Satan conquered Jesus on the cross." With his very own lips. Absolute heresy. Satan conquered Jesus on the cross. Now, there, Benny Hinn, there's another quote for you to have a look at for yourself. He spoke this out of his own very lips. He said, never ever, he reinforces, go to the Lord and say, if it be thy will. Don't allow such faith-destroying words to be spoken from your mouth. Well, obviously, Benny has never read his Bible. The Bible says we are to pray according to the will of God, and if it be his will, that's how we are to pray. But you see how quickly and easily someone can be misled by false truth, because it sounds good. Wow, if we ask for the Lord's will to be done, we're not praying in faith. That's not true. We are to pray in faith, if it be thy will. Frederick Price went to his website the other day. Absolutely shocking, but convincing. It looks good. Their faith dome is filled with over 14,000 people. Huge ministry. Hey, look, with that many people, it must be the work of the Lord. Amen? That's what we would think. Well, look at the numbers. That's what the emerging church says today. Look at our numbers. It must be the work of the Lord. What was the Lord teaching? Don't be deceived. When Christianity flourishes, it's not all my work. In fact, he says the flourishing will be the evidence of a great falling away. a great falling away. Frederick Price, what did he say? He said, God has to be given permission to work in this earth on behalf of man. Yes, you are in control. So if you are in control, who no longer has control? He answers the question by saying, God is no longer in control. We are in control. Very interesting reasoning, but it's a reasoning that ends in heresy. Lastly, Kenneth Hagin, another popular preacher, many people listened to him. Man was created on terms of equality with God, and man could stand in God's presence without any consciousness of inferiority. Well, heresy. You see, there's a great deception. And it's not in the world of lost people. It's in the world of false Christianity. That's where it's taking place. Don't be deceived by the growth. That's the one main truth of the parable of the mustard seed. Don't be deceived by the growth. It is not all of the Lord. And some of you are ticking over in your mind perhaps something you've listened to recently. I thought, wow, maybe just because it's big doesn't mean it's better. That's what the Lord was saying. And don't be deceived. Unnatural growth. Abnormal growth, the Lord sees it and He knows. You know, branches of Christianity, false Christianity, have spread far and wide. And as I was looking at this parable, the Lord revealed something to me. The emerging church movement and the apostasy of today is fueled with contemporary Christian music. Isn't it? Absolutely. It's the driving force behind bringing in young people into apostasy. And Hillsong is part of it, but the greater picture is CCM music. It's what the world's music. It's the world's lust. And as I was looking at this parable, the Lord revealed to me something that I hadn't seen before. You know what Hillsong is? Hillsong is the bird song. Hillsong is the bird song of these foul birds that are lodging themselves in the branches of apostasy. That's what it is. Amen? Amen. Birds sing a song. And that's the song of the emerging church, the false church, the apostate church. And some Bible-believing Christians are listening to their tune and going, oh, that sounds new. Well, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And being lured into apostasy, lured into the world by charismatic, contemporary Christian music. You see, the branches of the so-called Christian tree have come out far and wide. Christ said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the growth. You know, Robert Schuller says the real problem when it comes to the world today is self-esteem. The real sin in the world is a lack of self-esteem. If we can only encourage people to think better of themselves, then they can live victorious Christian lives. You see, if you are guilty over sin, something that took place in your life this week, that's your fault. Because you see, Christ doesn't condemn you. You're under no condemnation. We'll talk more about this philosophy in the months ahead on Sunday nights. But there's this false doctrine that if you're saved, you can live as you please. And if you're guilty over sin in your life, it's your fault because Christ doesn't hold it against you. Wow. Wow. What a lie. Self-esteem gospel. And if people get off track and don't see that sin is the problem, why would they turn to a Saviour from sin? They'll turn to a Saviour from self-esteem problems. They'll call on another Jesus. And that will flourish in the world. Because who wants to admit they're a sinner today? It's flourishing. It's exploding. Don't be deceived, brethren. How can we be discerning? How can we know error from truth? If there's a great flourishing, how can we know the herb plant from the branches? Notice there in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, we'll see this verse again in our series on apostasy. Notice the Bible says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. As Christians, we need to grow in the word. When we get saved, we drink milk. And as we grow, we will need to eat meat. Just like a child, a baby becomes a child and an adult and so forth. Verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, as we grow in the truth and in the Word of God, as we are exercised in the Word of God, as we exercise our faith, as we learn more about what God says, we will be able to discern between good and evil. Amen. We won't be lured into apostasy because we'll look at the Word of God and say, hey, that doesn't match up. There's something wrong with that statement that preacher's making. If we hear something from someone, I hope you're not hearing it very often. Now, let me say this, warning. I haven't mentioned it yet. I don't know why I didn't think of it. Christian radio, please switch it off. Amen. Don't listen to Christian radio. And if you're wondering why, the parable right here of a grain of mustard seed. Christian radio is a public branch in the world today. Anyone can lodge in that branch. You can hear anything from anywhere. Pastor, where do I then hear my truth? Well, you're in the right place. Where do I hear the truth of the Word of God? In church. Come to church. Amen. Amen. Read your Bibles. And if you want more, come and see me. We can provide you some more CDs, some good preaching, some good preachers. Please come and see me. Happy to provide you CDs for free. We'll provide it for free. Amen. Don't switch on the Christian radio. Amen. You see, the Lord warns us. He says, warning. Warning, Christians. Branches are filled with the devil's disciples. And I'm thankful that we don't need to know about every evil in the world of apostasy. I mean, our lives would just be corrupted. You know, our thoughts would just be consumed with the discouragement. You know, the Lord says, if you want to know what is real and what is evil, know my word. Amen. See, the truth will reveal evil. The truth will reveal evil. So I hope God's word has revealed something this evening to you. Be careful as you perceive what's around you to look at it through Christ's eyes. And let me encourage you. Let me say this. Not everything small is good either. Just because the Lord said the branches will be big, and not everything big is evil either. We need to look at the fruit. We need to measure it by the Word of God. But be careful of the explosion of growth in the emerging church. Masses flowing in. Did you know that masses are also flowing out? But you can't tell because there's a continual flow. That's another thing I'll speak about in the days ahead. These churches that are filled with thousands. Thousands move on and thousands come. And thousands move on and thousands come. You might say, Pastor, we're just a small church. Well, they are too, because people don't stay. They continue on. They fall away. But you can't see that from the outside because it's always full. Continuous movement instead of stability. The mustard seed. The mustard seed. Thank God he's continuing his work. Amen. And let's be a part of preaching the gospel, sharing the truth, and rejoicing in what we have in the Lord.